Today is Friday, the 17th of November, 2023, and we are in fun at the fair, or of the fair?
Fun of the flair.
Fun of the flair, that's in Cardigan. Could you introduce yourselves?
I am Bessin Marrero Kent, and I'm creative director of Abercorn Animation Group.
And I'm Rowan Allen, with Beth Ann. I'm co-founder of Codicon Animation Club, Abercorn, under the umbrella of WOW, Wales One World Film Festival.
So how did you both meet each other?
Well, I've always had a fascination with animation ever since I was a kid. I grew up with Disney, and then it gradually came to anime and Japanese animation. And we kind of met because I wore a Soot Sprite t-shirt. Since I'm a fan of My Neighbor Totoro is my favorite Ghibli film. And yeah, I wore the t-shirt, and I'm very much confident in anime and at the moment. And like I said, I met Rowan because of a t-shirt, and you were working part-time with learning disabilities at the time.
Yeah, at the time I'd recently moved back to Cardigan, which is where I grew up in here as well. And I started to work for Clinview Care Farm.
Yeah.
And I was supporting a gentleman who was coming along to Gateway Clubs, which you're a key part in, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
And so really, we would just be there and hanging out and socialising. And I spotted this young woman with a Totoro t-shirt on. And I was like, you like Studio Ghibli? I like Studio Ghibli.
Yeah.
And that was kind of...
Our conversations was endless. We talked about a lot of things. And one of the main things is because I've been going to like London Comic Con and anime conventions since my teenager years. And I always thought, why do I have to come to Comic Con in London, even though I still do it? Still go to London Comic Con. I just thought, why not have it here in Ceredigion, my home county? And there's a lot of buzz. There are anime fans in Ceredigion. There's thousands of us, I think. And so we were talking about that, weren't we?
Yeah. And I mean, the reason I realized, I recognized the characters on Bethan's t-shirt was because, I work for a film festival freelance. And B, when I was a student, I went to Japan and I studied like Japanese language and culture. And so in those days, it was probably more of a rarity to have anime fans.
Yeah, but now it's like mainstream now. It's like the most popular media. I think it's even beaten like comic books and DC and stuff like that, because I'm not going into that dilemma. That dilemma. It's just that it's mainstream now.
But it's like a real conversation starter, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, what anime do you like?
Yeah.
It's like you used to ask, oh, what music do you like? But now these days it's like, oh, what anime are you into? And then you can kind of get an idea of what level people are on, can't you? And it brings people together, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Common interest.
Yeah, but there are still people that probably see what kind of music you're into as well.
Yeah, true. Yeah, true, true. So, yeah, we got to know each other. Like, it was quite gradual, wasn't it, over the course of a few months?
Yeah.
And then I think I came to Beth Ann with a bit of a proposal, really.
Yeah.
Because I heard about her ideas for Abercorn.
Yeah.
And I said, well, let's see if we can do it as part of the festival. We made it happen.
We made it happen.
It was really joyful.
And we've been doing animation for how many years now?
So that was 2018, I believe.
Yeah. And
that we started. We must have met in 2017.
Yeah,
we did. But our first project was 2018, I think.
Yeah, our first project.
And we kept going.
Even through COVID.
Yeah. Definitely through COVID. It was like the most important thing, really, to keep it going.
Yeah.
Because the second year of Abercon
was, unfortunately, we had to, unfortunately, cancel because I know a lot of my friends are disability and people have medical problems, and I didn't want to cause them to be very severely ill. So it was a heavy heart in mid of the 2020, I uploaded a video on Facebook saying that we were postponing, or I said postponing, but we've really cancelled it further along the line, saying that we postponed Abercon because we don't want anybody to get severely sick.
So
we did open Abercon early on this year.
Yeah, we did. So we came back for our second in-person Abercon this year in 2023. But we've been doing things throughout that time, haven't we? We've made other films.
We've done like screenings and stuff like that.
Yeah, true. We've done screenings at Small World Theatre.
Yep.
How many films have we made now? You remember?
I think we made three.
And sort of some unpolished ones as well.
Yes, the unpolished ones.
So our most recent one was called Wild Words.
Wild Words. It was, we did some animation on poetry about wild animals in here in Wales, or any, or fictional. Like, I think there was a unicorn and a dragon, and I did a bunny.
Bethan did a bunny. We had a worm.
Yeah.
A wriggly worm. We had owls and voles and...
Yeah. What we're trying to do with our animation is to bring awareness to certain topics like animals, the environment, and the most... One of our probably most proudest ones was Tweet Us Equally, where we talked about our disability rights.
Yeah, and we connected it all with wider, like, human rights as well.
Yeah.
It's obviously, it's intersectional. And that's something I've noticed with Abercon, is that a lot of people who are, say, from the LGBTQ community are attracted to Abercon and interested in anime. And so there's, like, a lot of crossover.
Yeah, we're all inclusive with different types of people.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you... or with a disability, or are you LGBT, or anything else?
Or you could be a complete norm.
Or
identifying as a norm.
Yeah.
Whether you are a norm or not.
Yeah. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And we also cater to the old and the young. I think we had a lot of children and families. And that's good, because...
that's been the wonderful thing, I think.
Yeah.
The public-facing events that we've done together.
Yeah.
Because Bethan, obviously, is creative director's centre stage, but you're doing it for everybody.
I'm doing it for everyone. I just want people to be happy and have fun, because I know how bleak the world is at the moment, and I just want to get them stay cleared of the problems of the world and just have some fun and just live, like I said in Tweet Us Equally, life is colorful and bright, and we should embrace that.
Yeah,
sure, there's going to be the cloudy judgment of reality and stuff like that, and problems and things I really don't want to get into.
And one of the examples of those sort of colorful and bright things,
yeah,
I think, are your costumes.
Yeah. I am a cosplayer, and I do cosplay as different anime characters.
What's your favourite one?
Oh, I was really proud in recently of this my Wales from Italia, and it's one of my favourites. But I realised that the anime and the fandom was dying down because of new animes that are popping up. But I'm into two other big anime and things at the moment, as like Twisted Wonderland and Hypnosis Mike. But I really think that I was really proud of my costume this year, and I'm really proud to be a cosplayer.
So, do you cosplay?
She's I think she only cosplayed one, and that was Tombo from Kiki's Delivery Service at first.
Were the people at Abercon dress up?
I like it when people dress up. I think I saw different types of people at our first con that I recognized from anime. I think there was a Dobby from My Hero Academia and lots of other anime characters, but it's not just anime, it's just geeky thing in general.
Yeah, so it's one of the features of the day at Abercon, is a cosplay competition. So at the end of the day, we'd announce the winners. So that's always been lots of fun. And you involve other people that way, because people are attracted to come and cosplay.
Yeah.
even if they haven't been part of the group previously. So.
Yeah. And we have actually broadened our horizon with the animation group. Because it's not just in Ceredigion. I think we have somebody in Cardiff.
Yeah.
And somebody in people in the north.
Yeah.
And
that came about in lockdown.
Yeah.
So in lockdown, when we had to cancel the second Abercon, we took the money we would have spent on that. People generously sort of didn't hold us to our contracts with them. And it was really nice. And we had funding from the National Lottery, and they said, you do whatever is best for the people that you're serving. So we decided eventually to keep going on Zoom, didn't we? And I think it was one of the best things that we've done.
We still did it even after lockdown. We're still doing Zoom.
It's so successful. There's something, it's not right for everybody, but there is something, I think, for some people who have difficulty in a group setting, and who might sit in the corner and be quiet, can suddenly come alive through a Zoom call.
Yeah.
Not, I don't mean come alive, that sounds really derogatory, sorry. But I mean just really seem much more confident on screen. And that's really been something that we've picked up on. And so we think it's worthwhile continuing with the Zooms. But we've also returned to meeting in person, because a lot of people for whom Zoom's actually really challenging.
Yeah.
So we've got a bit of a balance going.
But
it's meant that we can invite people from outside of Ceredigion to come and be part of it all.
Yeah. And we have really talented people in our circle. And
amazing.
They're talented. Their drawings are amazing. We're just trying to bring them out of their shells, basically.
And everybody's got a unique style. And we've seen people even develop their styles over the course of the past few years.
Yep. I think I'm the most improved, because my drawings are getting way more better now.
What's your style, Bethan?
My style is the cute style, the kawaii style of...
Kawaii.
Yeah.
100%.
With the films that you've made already, how do you make?
So we do like a stop motion kind of style, not like with the clay kind like Leica or Aardman or anything like that. We usually use paper and stuff, because it's much easier. I doubt it would ever would do clay, would we? Or is way too advanced?
I don't think clay is way too advanced. I just think we've got used to using paper, haven't
we've
we?
Been, yeah, we've been using paper.
We did go on a claymation workshop once, do you remember?
Yeah, we did.
We went down to Kotatsu Festival of Japanese Animation in Cardiff. We went on a trip down there.
Yeah.
And there was an amazing animator who came from Japan, and he ran the workshop, and there must have been like 20, 30 people in there, plus a little group of Mencap Caradigion members
who
came down from Cardigan.
Yeah.
That was a really fun day.
Yeah, that was really fun.
And you made some really beautiful stuff that day, I think. But no, we haven't done so much of it in our workshops. Usually it's like, if you imagine a person.
Yeah.
So then you think about all the parts that a person would move. So their hands would move separately from their arms, from their body and their head. So you would design your character, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And then you break all those bits down into individual parts to make a puppet, like a paper puppet. So you can make that move with stop motion.
Yeah. So they will probably stick with paper, but we might consider other methods of if we featuring our.
Do you use then like an animate?
We use we try to keep everything as accessible as possible.
Yeah.
So we use technology that a lot of people have these days on their iPads or their phones.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of apps. One is called Stop Motion Studio.
Yeah, and I think that's what we...
Yeah, that's what we tend to use a lot of the time. And another one is called Flipperclip. And each of them have got their benefits. Flipperclip is a bit like Flickbook animation style.
Yeah.
So you can draw a bit and then you can draw it slightly different on the next page and slightly different on the next page. It works like that. So some of our members have started...
Yeah.
Using Flipperclip as well.
Yeah.
And sometimes we can combine the two and we can combine photography.
Yeah.
So the characters might move against a background, which could be a painting or it could be a photograph.
Yeah.
So it's...
We all make our own backgrounds as well and our own things.
And we don't want to make anyone conform to one particular style because everybody has their unique creative style ability.
Yeah.
And we want it to include everybody. So it doesn't matter if your drawing skills are different
from others.
We mash it all together and it produces something wonderful that represents everybody who's contributed. You can see... you know, they say with the Aardman's stop motion animations, like you can see the fingerprints of the animator in the clay.
Yeah.
I think you can see all the personalities and characteristics of everybody in the animation club in all the work that we've done. Nothing is homogenized at all.
No.
We don't use templates or anything.
No.
Like that.
What's the point of that?
Yeah.
It's like being everybody else, and who wants to be like everybody else? It's great that we use these methods because we get our strokes are like a unique kind of blend of different styles and different things. Mine, like I said, mine is the cutie style. So mine is really simple. It's just probably circles and things and stuff like that. But others are way more better. But I don't describe them as being better.
It's different, like different styles and tastes, isn't it? Because like some people, Matty, for instance, he's got quite a dark, dry sense of humour.
Yeah, and then there's Jamie.
Jamie is quite wacky and sort of a little bit horror inspired at times.
Yeah, I mean his Joker cat.
Yeah,
is an amazing.
Yeah, brilliant character,
and then there's Tom.
Yeah. Tom's got a real way with words, so he writes a lot of the kind of poetry and sometimes writes scripts and dialogue and things.
It's bringing up the talent of the people that we are. And some people can do digital art, like there's Saul.
Saul's amazing. He draws everything in. Do you remember this program called Paint? thing it on Microsoft.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, so he uses that for his animations. And they are stunning.
Yeah, they are really stunning.
They're professional, that.
They're really professional.
Yeah. Like, the Jimmel painting. I've seen that.
It's just the way he just... He makes these lovely smooth curves within paint. And I just think, wow, that is just like such dedication. And he's got a whole world of characters of his own that he's created. Really, that's his, you know, that's his personal strength, isn't it? And that's what we're doing, is working with people's personal strength and, you know, supporting you all to showcase them.
Yep.
Show them off.
So,
do you think that there is, so we all tell stories in different ways, but usually they follow a similar kind of structure or pattern.
Yeah.
Do you think that people with learning disability or neurodiverse people have their own particular way of telling a story? Or do you think it's influenced by stories that people...
Well, if we're trying to begin with a new project, we brainstorm of different ideas and stuff and get the opinions of the people that we are working with, don't we?
Yeah.
If we're going into a new project, we brainstorm of ideas, what we can do. We just go back and forth and seize everybody's opinion. And then when we can come to an inclusion, then we go for it, and then... We were conning for how many months?
Yeah, it's usually over the course of 3, 4, 5 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bit by bit, we get through the work, don't we?
We're not doing the animation club at the moment. We're probably having a little break at the moment, aren't we?
We've had a little break since March, but we're about to begin again in January. So
yeah,
we thought just after Christmas.
Yeah.
But yeah, it comes back to the question about, do people with learning disabilities tell stories differently?
Yeah, I think we do. I mean, everybody has their own way of telling a story.
Yeah.
Some try to be extra with their stories. And again, Tom is a perfect example of his storytelling. And stuff like that.
Yeah, I think the other thing is that what we've noticed within this group is there's so much like love and support for each other within the group. And the teamwork is incredible. you know, people take on jobs, they decide what they want to do, and then you make sure you get them done, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's the really like stellar thing that maybe like the rest of society
is not really trying. Society is just trying to be taken, trying to get the unique and making them extremely normal. And I say to myself, who wants that? I want to be the extra kind of person. I want to be the bright person that probably shouts out loud. Well, not really, because I'm a well-mannered kind of person, but you know what I mean.
But if everybody in society treats each other as well as the members of the animation club do, in my experience, then I think we do it away with a lot of the issues that we have. Like we'd be closer to each other, we'd be less isolated, you know, we'd be able to achieve things that, you know, we thought maybe we're outside of our capabilities or our or what people expect of us, you know.
Yeah.
So I kind of think it's like a model to be held up. I don't think I'm over-exaggerating that. I think it's real. It's like a really wonderful community. And it's something that I think of all the work that I've done in my life, I feel the most proud of. And, you know.
And a great friendship has been through this. Between me and Rowan, we are our business partners to the end.
Yeah, we've got that level of commitment to this thing.
And Hannah and Shake is also part of a little group.
And I think they say other things. Jake, for example, is a filmmaker, and he'd probably talk at length about how unique he finds the storytelling and the style.
And Hannah
is a wonderful visual artist.
Yeah.
Who, I don't know, everybody loves Hannah.
Yeah.
So
we're...
The people mix is really interesting.
Yeah.
In this club.
Yeah. I think for all intents and purposes, I think we have a really good thing going on.
Yeah.
And we'll hope... What's in
here? A few more questions.
Okay. Okay.
I thought you were trying to wrap it up. But
we were.
What's the first anime you ever saw?
Oh. If we have specifics, I vaguely remember this. It was in... Okay. Most typically, probably my first anime is like Yu-Gi-Oh! Or Pokemon and stuff like that. But I really went into anime in 2007 while I was in Florida, because I was obsessed with Disney for a long while. And I still am. I love Disney. And don't tell... You're going to edit this, aren't you? But don't tell this, but I stayed up well past one of the nights that I should have, and I stumbled across Toonami's animation block where they were airing some of the animes that was on it, like Full Metal Alchemist and I think Blood X and stuff like that. And I just saw this and I said, whoa, what is this? And then that's how I discovered anime. And then I realized, oh, Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh! Are also animes. So, yeah, that's what got me into anime. But and then I slowly developed from there with lots of other things. And I'm a big anime fan now, and I'm currently watching some animes at the moment, which are pretty good. So, yeah, that's my taste to anime is usually Pokemon, Beyblade, Yu-Gi-Oh, stuff like that.
Although I studied Japanese at university, I wasn't an otaku type. But I think I was in Japan and I was doing a homestay, and my Japanese sister, with the family who I was living with, she was really into Doraemon.
Oh, Doraemon, yeah. With the...
Who's this funny blue cat with a white face.
Oh, yeah, Doraemon, yeah.
With a helicopter hat. And they, with a dorayaki, you know, like Paddington Bear always has a marmalade sandwich under his hat. Yeah. So this cat always has like a red bean pancake in its little pouch at the front.
I recently ate a dorayaki recently, and that was a custard dorayaki.
It was a custard one.
I haven't touched the red bean paste, but I did taste the custard one.
And then the first feature was probably, this was when I was in a student halls and somebody brought a copy of Mononoke Hime, Princess Mononoke. And we watched that and totally blew my mind. Ghibli as a, you know, studio, it's got a lot of depth. Like, there are a lot of political statements and statements about the environment and the damage that we've done to it and things. And I think for me in the club, I can't help but bring that kind of thing in as a sort of a nod to Koreeda. Not Koreeda. What's his name now? Can you edit that bit out, please? different Japanese director. Miyazaki.
Yeah, Miyazaki. I liked Studio Ghibli as well. there are the serious things with Howl's and Howl's Moving Castle, Princess Mononoke chase. That was big.
Yeah, Diana Wynne Jones, amazing Welsh sort of writer of fiction for young adults. All older teens.
And the thing is, I like Miyazaki more since I heard that he actually came to Wales during the mining strike, and he actually cemented in Laput Castle Castle of the Sky. There's this mining village that one of the main characters, Pardew, I think his name is.
So he was inspired by Welsh socialism and Wales as communities, and you see that in his film Laputa Castle in the Sky.
So that increased my respect for Hayao Miyazaki, because he says he loves Wales as well, and to bind the two nations that I like the most, Japan and Wales, my birthplace, and the country that I admire, although I do realize that Japan has a few problems of their own that I will not go into, really.
I wanted to ask you about Comic Con, actually. You mentioned that it was like a welcoming place, your Mabacon. Are the other cons not so welcoming, do you think?
I wouldn't say that, because I went to Comic-Con recently at the end of October, and I wouldn't say it would be unpleasant. It's very welcoming. There's two places in the world that I feel totally normal. One of them is Disneyland, and the other is Comic-Con.
I think it's about creating Abacon in West Wales, in rural Wales.
Yeah.
I think the point was the geographical location. So, Bethan, you know, you obviously have the motivation and the resources to travel.
Yeah.
Not everybody does.
Yeah.
So
that's why I wanted Abercorn, because not everyone will go to London or Birmingham or these other places where are the big ones. Won't have the time, money, or lack of the worse, buses and travel and stuff like that. Yeah. It's just to make it remote and to people with disabilities who can't go to the... I'm lucky because I got an auntie in London that I could stay with, but not everybody has an auntie in London or anything.
Not everybody starts their own Comic-Con.
The other thing about Abacon is, so unlike, say, the other anime festivals, we're not purists in the sense of only screening in with subtitles. There's that meme, isn't there? Like, double sub. What would you choose, you know? And so...
Oh, don't I know it.
We screen the anime where there is a dubbed version. It's dubbed into English. I think that's important for accessibility for us.
Yeah, because we're catering to the general public, and probably the general public doesn't want to read the subtitles every single time. And plus, like I said, we have families and probably young children that probably don't want to read.
I need to be willing, the disability might not be able to read the
subtitles. Yeah,
I'm able to read the subtitles, because then again, I watch anime constantly every day, but. In subbed, I don't care if it's sub or dubbed kind of thing. So again, but I'm more catered to the people who can't read sub all the time, and young families, especially with young kids and children that probably don't want to read and just want to have a good time. So if people say that we're just catering to the mainstream of dubs. I would just tell them, hey, we're catering for little kids and children and families and other people with disabilities who probably don't want to read half the time. They just want to have fun. That's my argument. Mm. So,
hey, what did you think of Pandaphonics?
Oh, yeah, Pandaphonics was amazing.
You want to talk a little bit about that?
Now, Pandaphonics is this guy, I don't remember his name.
Theo.
And he makes great, like, remixes of I think animations.
Yeah. So it's like a VJ.
VJ kind of DJ. He mixes his music with clips from movies and stuff like that. And he did really well with the last app.
He did an absolutely amazing job to get a theatre. Well, in that cinema, I think it's just over 100 seats.
Yeah.
And it was packed out. Yeah. Absolutely sold out.
Yeah.
And everybody was off on their feet dancing.
Yeah.
And clapping along.
It did have like Studio Ghibli, Pokemon, yeah, anime, stuff like that.
Yeah. Again, it's, you know, it's like showcasing somebody's talents. Like, he's really worked hard to learn how to use the software to do the visual mixes and the audio mixes.
Yeah.
And to get these things working together. Just brilliant.
Yeah.
I think we can ask visitors to the exhibition, and this is a note for Anna when she edits this. to say whether they prefer dubbed or subtitled.
Because
I know you have to leave.
Okay.
Have there been any depictions of people with a learning disability in any anime films that you're aware of?
Well, I know that there's several characters from animation that have had inklings of probably autism. I mean, I think there was this one. I think Spectra from Raya, you know, the new cartoon of Raya that I'm mixing up my words. Then She-Ra, Masters of the Universe.
Oh, yes.
And I think Spectra, who is the mechanic, it's implied that she has autism. Okay. I think that she has autism because she has her interests and she's not very good with communicating with people. You know, that's kind of like a stereotype with an autistic person.
Does that depiction make you feel good that there's someone with autism on screen, or does it make you feel uneasy because, like you said, it's a bit stereotypical?
I'm okay with it if they just broaden the horizon with autistic characters. I mean, there is something called Rayman and stuff like with Dustin Hoffman that depicts as an autistic character, but I've never seen the movie, and what I've heard about it is he's kind of a typical stereotype for an autistic person. But I'm actually, can I say that something else about, there's this character on Sesame Street that is not, this is not animated, but she has been animated in picture books and stuff, and she's fully autistic, and I'm so proud of Sesame Street to aware of how autistic people are, even though Julia is on the far end of the spectrum with nonverbal communication and easy. And she's not very good with loud noises and she doesn't say hi. I'm okay with that. As an autistic person myself, I broaden her horizon of many anime characters or any person with a disability in animation.
So I was just looking up, trying to find the name of this anime that I'd seen a few years ago. But what I remember about it was about the Hikikomori.
Oh, yeah, Hikikomori.
So that's, and now I'm just Googled it, actually found that there's a whole bunch of anime that feature Hikikomori. So these are people who, for some reason or another, have decided to stay at home. They're usually young people. So perhaps through some psychological
problems or how society deals with them.
and
And it's really sad. It's really sad for the hikikomori. Again, I'm not bashing Japan. I love Japan. I love the culture. I love the food. I love the history of this thing. But they do have social problems.
Yeah. So these would be people who actually feel excluded. I guess that's why they've withdrawn or they're not accepted in mainstream Japanese culture.
Yeah. Even though I praise Japan for their about their culture and the food and the animation, there's stuff in Japan that I will agree that it's a bit too much. I only am going to say this one, but the workforce in Japan is brutal. I mean, not everyone could be a salary person. And they just jam. Not to say that I fully respect Japan. I'm not attacking Japan. Japan, I love you, Japan. I support you in football and as well as Wales and stuff like that. But I will admit that Japan has their own social problems, like any other country has their own social problems. Yeah. Yeah.
We'll go bring things to a close there. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.